Welcome to Love Quirks, the relationship and love podcast about sparking your connections and understanding the big picture of love. If you're neurospicy, kind of quirky, or just a regular old human wanting to spark your relationships with more connection, more love, more acceptance, and more understanding, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Crystal Clark. Join my quirky crew on your journey to being sparked forever, because no one is normal and all love quirks. Welcome to our love space today. I'm so excited to have you join in. If I sound a bit raspy or have to take a tea break, I apologize. I'm a little under the weather today, or I've actually lost my voice a little bit from doing too many like whiz and ahs at Disney World with my family last week. So I'm still recovering from that. Always a fun adventure to go traveling with those three. Just warms my heart. I feel if I sound overexcited on today's episode, that's also probably why, because I'm just so filled up with people energy. But what a great place to go. To people watch whenever you go to like a big amusement park like that, you know, to see family dynamics and, you know, different family dynamics and the families who are just really, you know, are running on pure joy, and the families who have like, we are at the end of our day and everyone needs some space and some alone time. So, you know, my little brain gets a little tweaked like that, right? I'm a social health person and, you know, I was brought up as a behavior analyst in my early career. So watching behaviors is always super, you know, intriguing to me, and I have to spy on people. Like, I don't know if you're one of those people who eavesdrops on people at Starbucks. I'm often guilty of that. Like, it just, that's why I used to work at Starbucks all the time before I had an office, when my job was a bit more on the road. And it was actually really hard lots of times to get paperwork done, because I'd be like, someone would be having a really interesting conversation about some sort of social relationship. And I just could not, just, you know, you learn a lot from that. Just could not stop listening. But anywho, so that really fired watching all these families and couples and things over the weekend, really just over the last week, really tweaked my brain and fired me up for this episode today. And really thinking about, you know, the loves of our life and our partners and, you know, and what we love about them. And can you name three things right off the bat that you love about your partner? Can you name 10 things? Without pausing too much, 10 things that you love about your partner. Can you name 10 things that annoy you or bother you or irk you about your partner? Now, best case scenario is that you're able to name those 5 to 10 things that you love, and that you have to take a moment to go, huh, what are the things that really annoy me or bother me? And then maybe we come up with 2 or 3. That's best case scenario, because that's a really nice balance of things. And we'll dive into why that is a balance. But for a lot of us sometimes, this can be a little bit reversed. Okay, right? We don't really want to be reversed on that. So, you know, where we can come up easily with our list of annoyances, mas, blahs, they did this last week, that kind of thing. And one of the reasons for this, so we're going to go through the two main reasons why our lists are sometimes off. And actually, we're going to dive into the second idea that I give you today in a little bit more depth in a few episodes here. So hopefully this tweaks your interest. So one of the reasons is that just signals in the environment that bother us, irk us, tweak us, they're more likely to stand out for us. And that's just like, you know, a behavioral survival mechanism, right? When everything is going well, we don't really notice it. When things are going not well, it's much easier to notice. So just a few everyday examples of that, to kind of bring it out for you, is if you're driving home and you hit all green lights, how often do you come home and you go, oh, what a smooth drive home. I hit all green lights, or I hit mostly green lights. Fantastic. I listened to a podcast. I listened to Crystal on my podcast. She had so many interesting things to say. I just couldn't get enough. Right? How often do you have that conversation with your partner when you get home versus, oh my gosh, do you know, I thought that drive was going to take me 20 minutes, took me 30 minutes. And I swear I got every light, every red light on the way. No, everyone was driving like it's bloody Sunday. Oh my gosh. I just want to bang my head again. Never do I want to drive to work ever again. All right. I think most of us have that latter conversation. And that's because it's really easy for our brains to pick up on when things have not gone to plan. So if your plan was to drive from point A to point B and it was supposed to take 20 minutes and it took 19, you probably take no notice of that. That was the plan. Check. We probably feel neutral and okay about that. But if we were driving, if we were trying to get to point A from point A to point B, and it took us 30 minutes, then that really stands out that it did not go to plan. Same thing. If you are in a family that happens to have children, you may notice that when they are behaving well, when they are following the group plan, when they are being thoughtful and kind to each other, when the siblings are not arguing, all of that jazz. That you don't notice, right? How often are you just walking around the house like, oh my gosh, I just heard you guys share. What a great sharing job. Like maybe if you have really little kids and you know, if it's your job to do what I do, then maybe. But for the most part, when we get into our everyday life, if things are going to plan, if the kids are not arguing, if they're not annoying each other, then we are just moving on with our life. Versus if they are fighting and screaming and we actually have to stop in our plan and stop them, these are the things that we notice. And this is why, gratitude journals tend to be, I think really popular slash being pushed a lot now, is it tends to take our, like I said, it's easy behaviorally for us to realize the signals in the environment that are not helpful to us because it's stop, they stop us up. Right. And that's why gratitude journals, I think, are really popular right now because they make us pause and try to think about the things that are flowing and moving well and not that are stopping us up. So those gratitude journals are really trying to refocus us on that piece. And that really helps us if we think about it with my big picture ideas, is that is really a gratitude journal is really just putting you in a more kindful mindset, getting you to stop in the moment during your day to be like, hey, I could put this in my gratitude journal later today. Okay. And to be more, so that's the mindful part, the being in the moment. And then to also be kind about your lens. Like, if I had a really bad day, surely I can think of one thing or two things or three things that went well. Well, my coffee order today was correct. Great. I'll write that down. the hot water and the shower felt lovely this morning, right? So sometimes we really have to pull out those tiny things in life. And that is really adjusting our lens to have that kindful mindset that I talk about in my cake model. So that's the K, and cake is kindful, right? And that really takes us to that kind of similarly to that glass, being half full rather than half empty kind of mindset. Those are all the same, right? So that positive line of thinking, I know people get caught up like, oh, there's toxic positivity and blah, 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 blah. It's really like which one do you have? And if you it's true that a lot of times the mindset is half the battle. So I'll give you a funny example of half the mindset being our mindset being half the battle. It's like, what if you, and this goes kind of goes back to listing also our annoyances versus our loves for someone or the things we love about them is what if when you find dirty gross socks all around the house, random hiding in couch cushions, wherever, I don't know if there's a problem in your house. If it was a funny inside joke in your house that mystery dirty socks just keep turning up everywhere, rather than a girly growl, eye roll, oh my gosh, another dirty sock, blah, right? Same scenario. I'm walking around the house finding dirty socks. If I find it and I laugh to myself and go, oh my gosh, another sock. Can you believe it? There must be like a weird sock fairy. And we can make jokes about the weird sock fairy to everyone in the house and everyone can have a laugh about it. Cool. But if it's just an eye roll and a girl and we don't like to talk about it, when we do talk about it, it's always in a mean voice to everyone in the household, then that changes the whole experience of the situation. And that the only change in that situation is the lens we view the dirty sock with. That's the only change is how we view the dirty sock. And then because of how we view that, That gives us the next step to our reaction and the word, our communication, right? Our words, the messages we send out. So our seeing the cake model, our words that come out, our affection, right? If I view that in an affectionate way and we laugh about it, people don't feel called out. People don't feel that they're just continuously failing at putting their socks away. And in a neurospicy household, where sometimes some of these executive functioning things can be quite difficult, and especially if you're in a household where you have multiple people who are neurospicy, maybe different kinds of neurospicy, right? We all have different viewpoints and different ways our brains are working. And so to think about how different brains are processing that and what and different reasons we might find dirty socks, or not shaming people because we found dirty socks, that can make a big difference and make in whether we add that to our list of annoyances, grrs, or even sometimes to our list of, oh, I love them. They're always doing silly, funny things like leaving dirty socks around the house. Or it just becomes a neutral and like a non-issue, a non-thing we think about. Anyways, and that also goes kind of with, having that glass half full mindset, right? Versus that glass half empty. Is this just like a bit of a ha-ha, or is this an annoyance, right? Okay. Anywho, I digress a little bit. So one of the reasons our perspective in our relationship might be a little off is the lens that we're viewing it with, and that because things stand out, right? So we know that things that stop us up stand out more to us. So that could be one of the things that's happening. Okay, so then that's easy. We can just do a reframe, right? If that's like, oh, I'm just noticing too many negative things in my day, well, then a gratitude journal. I'm making a list of all the love qualities about my partner, all of those kind of things. That's a much easier fix. We can do a few fun activities for that, and if you want to come and hang out with me one-to-one, and book some sessions with you and your partner and go through some of those activities and those reframing things. They're super fun. They're super great. And you can find me on Instagram, at Sparked Forever, or on TikTok at Sparked, I think Sparked underscore forever. And, DM me and we can get that all set up for you. Also through my website, sparkedforever.com, if you want to do some of those activities. Now, our second reason that we might have a longer list of blahs and annoyances and yucks than not, or than our positive loved ones, is that we might have some unprocessed anger, fury, annoyances. So unprocessed, that's right. Unprocessed anger, fury, annoyance. Okay. So when we can list all those things that we love about someone, or it comes really easily, really fast. For a lot of us, that's at the beginning of the relationship. That's maybe when we have this new relationship energy. And that's because at that point in time, we're really still admiring the person. And it's maybe easy to admire them at that point. And when we admire someone, when we're in a state of admiration, we're really regarding them as being, and this is going to sound funny, but this is true, regarding them as being like impressive or worthy of respect. Now, I would think my stance, when I put it that way, I really think to myself, like, whoa. Wouldn't I always want to feel impressed or have respect for my partner? I think I would always want that, right? That seems okay. Now, some of you right away, I know the leap you're jumping to, especially if you've been in a relationship for a while or have been in a long-term relationship or a few long-term relationships. I know you're already jumping to head. Ah, well, that diminishes with time. But what if I told you that it's not actually time. It's not actually finding out that the person that you love is not perfect. Because I think at this point in time, with all of the social media, all of the things out there, I think at this point in time, we should all know that nobody is perfect. I think we've all heard that. I think Oprah taught us that, 25 years ago, right? That no one is perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. The love of my life is not perfect, even though I love him so ever much. He's not perfect. And actually, that makes him better that he has all his little imperfections, because that's what makes him him. Just like my cats. Right? My cats aren't perfect. Maybe you think your cats are perfect or your pets are perfect, but I definitely don't think my pets are perfect. And that's some of the most endearing things about them is their funny little quirks, right? That's what makes them them and not like a weird little robot cat, although I'm sure we're programming some robot cats to also be delightfully quirky too. But anywho, so we all know this. We all know that no one's perfect. So I don't think we ever date people and go like, oh my gosh, I thought they were perfect and now they're not. Or if you are, get that out of your brain right now. That's silly. Nobody's perfect. Okay. So the part that really derails us then is when something happens that disappoints us. When we get some of those little letdowns or miscommunications that happen, and we take them. Now, this is key. We take them and we push them down. Okay. And, or we just move along and leave it, even when they seem small. Okay. Then all these little instances, what happens of things that we haven't actually said, oh, that gives me a not good feeling. Or we've had even like, I find even labeling, like we've had a miscommunication. Oh, like when we were in Disney World. Okay. So we got, me and my boyfriend got into, me and my partner, we got into a hilarious argument about whether he should sit down in the bus or not. Because there's buses, shuttle buses that take you back and forth to your resort. And it was the end of the day. We were doing big days out there. Like I brought my Fitbit. We were walking like 26,000 steps. Like I think we were doing about 18 kilometers a day of nonstop walking, dragging the bonus kids everywhere around the park when they're having a good time. But we're really going 12, 13-hour days of walking. Okay. So we're on the bus and he's standing up because all these buses, by the end of the night when the park is closed, they all get full and he's standing up. And I have this belief in my heart, this true belief in my heart, that there's two seats at the end of the row beside us and two seats kind of where he's standing in front of. And I have this true belief in my heart that no one who is coming on the bus will ever possibly figure out that these seats exist and that this will cause these other people that are getting on the bus that I don't even know, that they will have to stand needlessly, even though there's these four seats back here. So I tell him, I'm like, you need to sit down. This is what made most sense in my brain. And that's fine. I still think it makes most sense in my brain. But I was like, you need to sit down so that the people can see that there's seats. And then when they come back, you can stand back up. This is what I thought you should do. And he says, no, I got it. And I was like, no, I don't think you understand. So anyways, it went back and forth like that. And then, he just decides, I'm just going to look at my phone. He was doing some work things. He's like, I told you it was fine. We're done with this conversation. And now I'm going to go back to my work text that I need to send before we get back to the hotel. Well, this is so hard for my brain to just do. So now I think he maybe hasn't heard all of my idea or understood all of my message that I've tried to send out. Communication, right? These just sending and receiving messages. I'm gonna reword my message in another way. I'd be like, no, but you don't understand. No, but you don't understand. Anywho, I was eventually prompted enough. Eventually, he was like, we are done. Sometimes I need the we are done prompt a few times. And this is a good understanding we have between us. But when we got back to the room after we were out of the situation, even though that seems like such a small, whatever conversation to have, right? I'm sure lots of couples have that conversation all the time and don't even think about it. So when we got back to the room, he said to me, do you know, I told you that I had it covered and you could just not believe that. And that, annoyed me. That made me feel irked. And that's great feedback for me to have because then I can say, oh, okay, well, this is what I was trying to do. I can now understand what you were trying to do. And I would now like to apologize for trying to tell you the same thing 10 times in a row in seven different ways. And we have now worked that out and processed it. Because we didn't wait a day, we didn't wait a week and go back. We did it like, We didn't do it in the bus because that was very inconvenient. Now there's people and now there's blah. We probably need 5 to 10 minutes to be like, to process it in our own minds and what we would like, what our thoughts are that we're not in the moment anymore. But then it's like once we were in that second environment, got to the hotel room, it was a quick little 1 to 2 minute chat of, I see my miscommunication. I see how it affected you. You see the miscommunication, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. And now we're back to neutral. Now there's not that thought in the back of a head like, oh, this person always does this. This person always nags me 10 times in a row about their idea, right? That would be his feedback about me. If we let these little things build up. So that's a little story there. But, all of this unprocessed, these tiny annoyances, these little letdowns, these little miscommunications, these like, oh, I thought you were supposed to come home at this time for date night, and now I've been seeing around, and there's actually just a miscommunication on time, and it could just be like an explanation on that, and a clear and a sincere, kindful, I'm sorry, in communication at the moment, and we process that. So when we don't process these little annoyances, they build up. And I'm sure you know this now that we sit and think about it, but sometimes we just need this reminder about it, is that they build up and eventually there will be a tipping point where we now view our partner no longer with a kindful lens. We now view them with an annoyed lens. And the culprit there is not time. It's not how long you've been with the person. The culprit there, the problem causer there, is not processing the small instances, the everyday annoyances that can build up. Now, if you're not processing the big annoyances, that's where relationships maybe fall apart in the short term, right? Like we only lasted 6 months, a year, 2 years. But when we have relationships that last, 15 years, and all of a sudden we come to a whole bunch of impasses, a whole bunch of stop-ups, this is what's going on. Is that now our bowl of annoyances and frustrations and small angers has overflown. And now everything starts at that point. Everything starts at that I'm already angry or annoyed with you point. If we are now in a general state of annoyance because of all these little things, it dampens our energy. It dampens our energy. To give our partner that smile, to give our partner that hello, that greeting when they walk in the room or come home from work, that goodbye kiss when they leave in the morning, to text them back right away, to do the small things for them, like pour them a cup of coffee or let them know when their phone is ringing, or I don't know, whatever small thing it is that you do. So, as you know from from the episode Love Action, I think that's what it's called, Love Action. It's just a few episodes ago. I want to say 9 or 10. Go check it out if you don't know. But from that episode, we learned, or we thought about, how love is really like a verb. It's an action. Show like communicating our love is really a buildup, kind of like this bowl that built up with annoyances and now is overflowed. Our love builds up and overflows, but it's good when it overflows, right? We want it to overflow. We want it to be like a little waterfall, rather than a cup that spilled to made a mess all over the table. We want our love to just be a flow of beautiful actions cascading and making rainbows and all those kind of things, right? Okay. So love is made up of all these little actions. And if our little actions stop because we have this overall lens of annoyance or bothered or irksome, then we've really stopped the love. And that's a problem. It's not the miscommunications and the mistakes that stop the love. It's not processing that kills it. Let me say that again. It's not the miscommunications and the mistakes that stop the love. It's not processing them immediately that kills it. So big, right? That really sits there if you really think about it. And that's the thing. This is, if this is what, if you can stop and pause and see that this is what's going on, right? That this is a really, really big idea. And that's why we're going to dive into a couple episodes on it, I think. Because it's a really big idea that lots of us don't notice until we're on that, until our bowl of, or till our cup of bothers has spilt over and made a mess on the table. And now we're just really, teed off at it, right? So it's a big, big idea. We'll jump into a little bit more on the processing of things so that we can keep that kindfulness lens for our partner, or that we can get our kindfulness lens back. If you have lost your, if you're sitting there listening and you're like, oh my gosh, this is what's happening. My cup of annoyance, or I can tell that my partner's cup of annoyance has spilt everywhere. It's spilt everywhere, and we don't have enough paper towels to clean it up. Do you know what? I've got some paper towels for you. I have got a Costco size pack of paper towels. We're just gonna mop up that spill. We're gonna write that cup back up, and we're gonna dry it out. We're gonna wash it out. We're gonna dry it out. We're put it in the cupboard. I don't know if this metaphor is working, but we're gonna put that cup in the cupboard, and are we even gonna take it out once in a while? I don't know, because if we're processing all of our oopses and our miscommunications and our blahs and our things like that, I don't know if we're even gonna need that cup to put any bothers or annoyances in. Whoa, dude, that sounds pretty good. So again, if you are there, if your cup is spilt, that's what I'm here for. That's why you can book me for your one-to-one sessions. That's why you can, DM me on Instagram or on TikTok, get in touch with me. You can also contact me through my website, because that's what I am here for, right? I'm here to help you with that. So let's take a step on that note. Let's take a step back right now. Let's take a step back and think about, what is your list? Is your list of loves right now that you can name quickly, is it longer than your list of annoyances and blahs? And if we have, a list of 10 loves and 8 annoyances, we're maybe still a little out of whack. Okay. So we can probably still work on that a little bit. And then, think about, then pause and think, are my lists out of whack? Are my lists a little imbalanced just because I am only seeing the annoyances and the bothers and the miscommunications, right? And I could just do some reframing. I'm at that point, that beginner point, where I could just do some reframing and start to pick up on the more positive things and the love things, and we can move forward. Or has my cup spilt? Is my lens still so focused, so overshadowed by the negative, that it's not possible for me to just reframe at this point in time? So I want you to pause and take a moment and think about that. And think about whether we are not processing our relationship oopses in the moment, or are we just not pausing to see the positives? Those are the two. If we can all take a moment for processing, and we can all take a moment to pause and see the positives, then we'll all be more sparked.
Thanks to my quirky crew for sharing this space and your connection time with me once again. It's really, truly appreciated. If you're new here, I hope this time sparked your love and relationship energy too, and that you'll be joining us again. If something sparked you today, connected with you, delighted you, do reach out, find me on TikTok at sparked_forever, or through my website, sparkedforever.com, to get your free copy of Cake Night, your mini guide to making date night sweeter. Don't forget to send some love out by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Not only does this send me some love, but it helps others find us on their relationship journey. Until next time, be sparked.